All right. Thank you so much, Len. And that was very observant of you. That was really a copy from last week when Bob DeWater was actually the minister, reverend of that Sunday morning service. So there was a little exchange of roles, but we're back to our regular. Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's a really happy good morning here in the Northeast, at least, where I just saw the 7-day weather forecast, which it's going to be all in the 50s and sunny for the next 7 days, right through next weekend, which is probably also true up in Quincy, Mass, where there's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime extravaganza party. So we're blessed with very balmy weather here. Of course, they give all kinds of reasons. It's El Nino's year and things like that, but it's going to be the warmest December, I think, on record, following the warmest November that we've had here on record. So it's a balmy holiday time, Hanukkah, Christmas coming up. Okay, as we always do, this is a time to send and share your blessings and your warm greetings to all, just as if we were right here. You just turn to all and just send your blessings and love. And turning this mic back to you, Lynn, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, thank you so much, Lynn, for that beautiful music. Thank you all for being here, joining with us here this Sunday morning for our regular Awakening Together Sunday morning service here in the sanctuary. And I want to give a warm welcome to anyone listening in on Awakening Together Radio, wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining us here this Sunday, as you may every single Sunday here, 10:15 to 11:30. Of course, Awakening Together Radio is always on the air 7 days a week. we do have a really wonderful morning ahead. I must say that I've been totally gifted and blessed by the Holy Spirit, who has literally given me everything that I have to say here this morning. As usual, I say everything is given to me. Today is certainly nothing different from before, except that I feel that every word I'm about to read. Yeah, I'm going to probably read more today than I ever read before on a Sunday morning. All came to me through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just wants to get this message out. But before we go there, let's take a look at Awakening Together and its message. What is Awakening Together? Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom regardless of the form in which it appears, and I can attest to that for sure. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways that we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases, and we want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And I think that we'll be speaking about that here this morning. To recognize the limitations that we place upon ourselves by our personal beliefs and biases. What's our purpose? We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. I love that. Common purpose, a shared purpose. Only purpose can be shared. Awakening to one true self. Awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And of the five core values, I've chosen number one, although as I see them, they all come from the same source, the same root, so they're all the same, but let's take number one. I did take a look at it, and it seems to be consistent with this morning. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Yes, we have different paths of awakening, yet we're all heading to the same place called awakening, to remember the truth of what we are. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that this morning. And let's see, at this particular moment, I think the next thing is what announcements I have. And thank you so much for making these something that I can just read right here, right now. So I'm going to read it as it's given to me. Awakening Together is offering a winter retreat titled The Spirit of Surrender in Cannon City, Colorado, February 26, 27, 28, coming up. The speakers for this retreat are Brent Haskell, and if you haven't heard Brent Haskell, that is really, truly a treat. That's me saying that. Brent is the author of Journey Beyond Words, which I think is one of the best books in the entire community, and The Other Voice. The first is the companion to the workbook of the Course in Miracles, and the other voice is the companion to the textbook of the Course in Miracles. Of course, it was scribed by Brent Haskell. It's the voice of Yeshua, the same voice that spoke to Helen, and it's a beautiful, beautiful way of supporting you in your study and your path. Regina Dawn Akers will also be one of the speakers. Jacqueline Eckert, Jay McCormick will also be available to help in this superb retreat experience. The single room rate for this retreat, including all meals, is only $350. Shared accommodation for this retreat, including meals, is $275. So if you want to share your accommodation, it's $275, which sounds like a real bargain. You get all the meals, and my God, you get all of Brent Haskell, Yeshua, Regina, and everyone else that's going to be there. It's going to be a real gathering, and I know A lot of my friends are going to be there to be ordained. It's going to be a way to ordain the newest batch of ministers coming from the MPP program. And I'm still looking at whether I'm going to be able to make it. I would love to be there. We'll see how Holy Spirit works that out for me. The second announcement is that you still have an opportunity to begin the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program, the MPP, this month with a free intro to the MPP class. This Tuesday's class is already full, but you can still register for this Wednesday's class or for classes that are being offered next week. For full details, look under the classes menu on our website. And of course, our website is awakening-together.org. And just look under the classes menu on our website. The third announcement is Awakening Together's quarterly member meeting will be held right here in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. West Coast Time. The agenda includes a financial statement from this year's fall retreat, surveying you to see who you would like as retreat leaders at the 2016 fall retreat, updates about changes to the board of directors, announcement regarding our Vice President Minister Jacqueline Eckert, update about our application for church status, update about our retreat center fundraising campaign, announcement about a project to remodel the Awakening Together Sanctuary. I guess this is it, right where we are. This is this Awakening Together Sanctuary, and how you can be involved. And an announcement regarding our satsang guests for December, January, and February. So, do please attend this fourth quarter member meeting tonight at 8 p.m. tonight, Eastern Time. The meeting will be recorded for those of you who are unable to attend, and that's from our minister founder, Regina Dorn Akers, and we would love to have you attend. It's a real way, we hold it every 3 months. It's a real way to be involved in Awakening Together and its programs. All right. I'm going to start off this morning. I think I've covered everything. If I haven't, if I missed anything, please just put it on the board. I do tend to miss things every now and then. Lynn says it's going to be a potluck dinner directly after the meeting. Bring your own supper. Okay. Regina says, surveying you to see who you would like as retreat leaders at the 2016 fall retreat. Lynn says, this is the only time this will be offered until we begin another MPP class. Yeah, so this is a time to get involved, and if you're thinking of the ministerial preparation program to be ordained as a minister, this is the time to actually do it. It won't happen again, I think, until next fall or something like that. So if you are interested at all, it's a free intro class. Just go to classes on the menu at awakening-together.org, our website. Okay, I'm going to start off with a prayer, which I don't normally do, although I always start off inviting Holy Spirit to be here with me, putting Holy Spirit in charge of my request. This morning I did that while I was in the shower, and this is what I heard back. You don't have to ask me to be in charge of your request. I'm always in charge. I heard that very clearly. I am in charge. Yeah, in other words, you're not the doer here. You may be the mouthpiece. You're speaking the words, but you are not the doer. It's coming to you and through you, and I am always in charge. So that's what I heard this morning. I passed that on. But today's lesson, daily lesson from the Course, this is the 340th day of the year, it says, I can be free of suffering today. And I'm going to read the italics portion because I found it to be so on purpose for this morning's sharing. Father, I thank you for today and for the freedom I am certain it will bring. This day is holy, for today your Son will be redeemed. His suffering is done, for he will hear your voice directing him to find Christ's vision through forgiveness and be free forever from all suffering. Thanks for today, my Father. I was born into this world, but to achieve this day and what it holds in joy and freedom for your holy Son and for the world he made, which is released along with him today. So I was born into this world, but to achieve this day. Yeah, that really spoke to me. Believe it or not, that's the way I really feel. I really feel I was born into this world to achieve this day, yeah. So without further ado, I'm going to be turning this mic over to our reader, Cheryl Kaplan. And just before I do that, just a few words. First of all, the topic for today, which basically is something that came up on Friday, and it was put on the board, really, by Cheryl Kaplan. And it was at that moment that I said, because I was thinking of having someone else as the reader, all of a sudden I said, oh, Cheryl Kaplan should be the reader. She actually came up with this topic, and the topic for today, if I can put all this up, this is something that Lynn wrote earlier, so you see my name there. Above the battleground is the resurrection. Above the battleground is the resurrection. A look at the world's view of terrorists and radicalized and an alternative perception. An alternative perception. And that's pretty much what came up on Friday afternoon when Cheryl was in the room, and this topic kind of came up. We're talking about it on Friday, and we're talking of something that came to me that morning to read from chapter 23, The War Against Myself, The War I Wage Against Myself, The War We Wage Within Our Self, Against Ourself. And as Veronica Gabrielle has said a long, long time ago, if there's only one chapter that you read in this entire course, if there's only one chapter, make sure it's chapter 23, The War Against Myself. It is so revealing. And somehow I was drawn on Friday to section 5, which is called Above the Battleground. And we're going to ask Cheryl Kaplan to share. I think she's going to be reading 5 paragraphs. And there was one thing in paragraph 5, which comes towards the end, which really I knew that Holy Spirit wanted this to be the topic for today. And basically it says, how can a battle be perceived as nothingness when you engage in it? How can a battle be perceived as nothingness when you engage in it? How can the truth of miracles be recognized if murder is your choice? So you can see why Veronica Gabrielle says, if there's one chapter you're going to read in this course, make it chapter 23, The War Against Yourself. Without further ado, turning this mic over to you, Cheryl Kaplan, who will be the hostess with the mostest, along with Vicky Poppy, of my once-in-a-lifetime Christmas party next week in Boston. If you're in the area, please do attend. It's going to be warm, balmy, sunny weather. Cheryl Kaplan, this mic is all yours.
Good morning, all. I'm just doing a sound check. Can you hear me? Okay. Good morning, Don. Oh, Regina, I'm sorry. Okay. It's actually, Dove, the chapter 23, The War Against Yourself, it's actually section 4 Above the Battleground in the FIP book. Do not remain in conflict, for there is no war without attack. The fear of God is fear of life and not of death. Yet he remains the only place of safety. In him is no attack and no illusion in any form stalks heaven. Heaven is wholly true. No difference enters. And what is all the same cannot conflict. You are not asked to fight against your wish to murder, but you are asked to realize the form it takes conceals the same intent. And it is this you fear, and not the form. What is not love is murder. What is not loving must be an attack. Every illusion is an assault on truth, and everyone does violence to the idea of love because it seems to be of equal truth. What can be equal to the truth yet different? Murder and love are incompatible. Yet, if they both are true, they must be the same and indistinguishable from one another. So they be to those who see God's Son a body. For it is not the body that is like the Son's creator. And what is lifeless cannot be the Son of life. How can a body be extended to hold the universe? Can it create and be what it creates? And can it offer its creations all that it is and never suffer loss? God does not share his function with a body. He gave the function to create unto his Son because it is his own. It is not sinful to believe the function of the Son is murder, but it is insanity. What is the same can have no different function. Creation is the means for God's extension. And what is his must be his Son's as well. Either the Father and the Son are murderers, or neither is. Life makes not death, creating like itself. Be lifted up, and from a higher place, look down upon it. From there will be your perspective be quite different. Here in the midst of it, it does not seem real. Here you have chosen to be a part of it. Here, murder is your choice. Yet from above, the choice is miracles instead of murder. And the perspective coming from this choice shows you the battle is not real and easily escaped. Bodies may battle, but the clash of forms is meaningless. And it is over when you realize it never was begun. How can a battle be perceived as nothingness when you engage in it? How can the truth of miracles be recognized if murder is your choice? When the temptation to attack rises to make your mind darkened and murderous, remember, you can see the battle from above. Even in forms you do not recognize, the signs you know. There is a stab of pain, a twinge of guilt, and above all, a loss of peace. This you know well. When they occur, leave not your place on high, but quickly choose a miracle instead of murder. And God himself and all the lights of heaven will gently lean to you and hold you up. For you have chosen to remain where he would have you, and no illusion can attack the peace of God together with his Son. And that concludes my reading. Just wanted to put a shout out again for Dove's Once in a Lifetime Christmas Extravaganza Party that we're having this week. And Vicki wanted me to remind everyone that she has a hot tub, so if you're interested, please bring a bathing suit to enjoy. We look forward to seeing everyone here, and thank you, Dove, so much for asking me to do the reading today, and I love you all. Have a wonderful, blessed Sunday.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for that reading. And if you were listening, there was so much in that that we could just go over those words and take a look at how we keep making the same mistakes over and over again simply by thinking that things are going on outside of us, out in the world, and, you know, some days it's calm, and then other days, all of a sudden, we go into fear and suffering and mourning and crying and worry and trying to fix things. I'm going to start off this morning by saying what Adi Ashanti and Ramana Maharshi will say a number of times. I'm not here to answer your questions. I'm here to question your beliefs. And I think that's what's going on here in this world right now. I don't think there's ever any accidents. Nothing ever happens at random. All things are part of God's plan for salvation. And there is that wonderful line in the Course, Chapter 4, Section 5, in the very first sentence, all things happen for the good. This is always true, except in the judgment of the ego. And the ego will immediately point the finger and say, are you out of your mind? Are you insane that all things happen for the good? Can't you see what's happening? Well, this morning we're going to take a look, and the topic is called Above the Battleground is the Resurrection. I'm going to take a look at something that I don't usually do here, is look at something in current events, which we are all aware of. There's no accident that Holy Spirit would have me speak on this, because it is on everyone's mind, and I would be remiss to just do another Sunday without actually including it, because I think it's a way for us to begin to see. You know, above all else, I am determined to see. You know, there's a line in the Course about this celestial speed up. It's a celestial speed up. And I think that's exactly what's going on. We're into this celestial speed up here that for the first time, and I was listening on the radio yesterday. I was driving in the car. I was actually listening to CNN on the radio. And for the very first time, I heard hesitancy and uncertainty of not knowing what to say or what to do about what usually we always have very quick rush to judgment. Oh, well, let's do this and let's do that. But how can you do anything when you're talking about your next door neighbor? Kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, the movie that was, I used to be a sci-fi lover of sci-fi movies. I went to see The Body Snatchers. Some of you know that. It was such a good movie. They came back again about 30, 40 years later. They made another movie of it. And I always was really frightened by that movie, because in The Body Snatchers, you know, your best friend who came over to have a party with you could leave this wonderful seed for you, looked like a watermelon in those days, and you lost your life. You weren't you anymore, you know. You became some alien. Wow. I mean, you know, this is not something that happens because somebody across the world is going to attack you and you can attack them back. No, this is somebody who lives right next door to you. This is your next door neighbor. This is your friend. And for the first time, I hear the leaders who make all the decisions of legal enforcement, of law enforcement, whether you're the FBI or the marshal's office, starting to scratch their heads for the first time. How can we stop this? I mean, and of course, out comes all of the usual things. Well, we got to stop the guns. We got to do this. We got to do that. Of course, at the very time that this was coming to me this week, one of the sections in the course that we were just reading in chapter 29 was look not outside yourself, seek not outside yourself. And maybe for the very first time, there's going to be some introspection. We're going to be looking within instead of looking without. Because when you look without, there's not much you can do, really, to keep safe. I was listening again this morning, and I heard one of the officials, the leaders in Washington, actually asked the question, will we ever really feel safe? What a question. Will we ever really feel safe? And now they're starting to say, there's something going on here that we don't understand. Because this frequency of mass killings, which is now more than one a day, more than a mass killing is where there's four or more that lose their lives. Four or more to lose their lives. It's happening at the rate of more than one a day. And it seems to be happening here, of course, in this country, which seems to be a world leader for peace and freedom and democracy. How is this possible? Is there another message that maybe we are missing? Maybe we've been looking in all the wrong places, trying to prevent things, trying to defend ourselves against attack. Let's see, isn't that the name of the lesson, the longest lesson in the Course in Miracles? If I defend myself, I am attacked. Lesson 135, the one that Ken Wapnick calls the Atonement Lesson. Ah, I see. It says if you were planning, you know, you will be attacked. That's what planning is. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure that everyone has guns. I'm going to make sure. There's no more make sure anymore. There's no more certainty. And that's probably the best news that's happened. We're moving into uncertainty. We're moving into doubt. That all the things that the ego has come up with to defend are not working. It's what Ken Wapnick used to call a maladjusted solution. So the ego comes up with these maladjusted solutions to a non-existent problem. We get to see that it's a non-existent problem, especially in this paragraph number 5 of what Cheryl Kaplan was reading from above the battleground. It says, be lifted up, and from a higher place, look down upon it. From there will your perspective be quite different. Oh, so we have to change our way of seeing. I see. Okay. So the way I've been seeing is always look outside of me and say, well, I'll come up with a solution for that. No, you can't come up with a solution from the same conceptual mind that made up the problem in the first place. You can't do that. It says, be lifted up. In other words, lift yourself up. That's the resurrection. No, I'm dreaming. I'm believing what my eyes are seeing me. Notice in the word eyes, you also have the phonetic radical eyes. My radical eyes, are telling me the enemy is out there. Be lifted up and from a higher place, look down upon it. From there will your perspective be quite different. Here in the midst of it, it does seem very real, doesn't it? Well, what are we going to do? There's no doingness here. Here you have chosen to be a part of it. In other words, you're right on the battleground. You have to protect yourself. You have to defend yourself. You see yourself as a body. You see others as bodies. Which body is going to be the one that's carrying the bomb, that has the gun? What am I supposed to do? Live in a prison cell in solitary confinement to defend myself, to protect my body? Is that what I'm supposed to do? It says here in the midst of it, it does seem real. Here you've chosen to be a part of it. Here murder is your choice. Five word sentence. Here murder is your choice. He's not pulling any punches. If you're here in this world and you identify yourself with a body, even though you consider yourself extremely loving, what's not love is murder. And even though you say that you wouldn't do these things, you would never, ever, ever, ever do these things, but it's the moment that you judge your brother who does do these things as guilty, you have murdered him off. It's that simple. The mind murders itself off. So it says, here murder is your choice, yet from above the choice is miracles instead of murder. And the perspective coming from this choice shows you the battle is not real. The battle is not real and easily escaped. Bodies may battle, but the clash of forms is meaningless, and it's over when you realize it never was begun. And it's over when you realize it never was begun. Isn't that accepting the atonement for yourself? Because as long as you think it's real, as long as you're protecting yourself, as long as you think you have to do something to defend yourself, you're attacking yourself. And this will go on and on and on and on forever and ever. As I'm saying this, I was reminded that on Friday morning, on the Today Show, Mandy Patinkin, some of you may know Mandy, he's a well-known actor. He has one of the two starring roles in Homeland. Thank you, Suzanne. In Homeland, which is a series that Suzanne and I watch faithfully on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on Showtime. And Homeland is all about terrorism and what we do as a country to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves as a country. But Mandy Patinkin did not come on that show to talk about Homeland. He came on to say something that any one of us could have probably said if asked to speak our truth to the public on national TV. This is what Mandy Patinkin said. He said, it doesn't really ever matter what we really do to stop terrorism as we see it. We could wipe out ISIS. We could do anything that the leaders say we must do. But it will not change anything. Something else will pop up in another form. And those of you who love history know that that's true. There's been wars to end all wars. There's been vaccines to end all sickness and disease, but there's always two more that's following that. It was Dr. David Hawkins who on the Oprah show one day said, you know, in mankind's history, mankind has been at war 97% of the time of mankind's history. Oprah picked up on it with an optimistic view and says, does that 3% that we weren't fighting each other at war, is that hope for the future? He said no. The 3% was that we were too poor from depression, financial depression during the depression years, and too sick from plagues when there were plagues covering the earth to fight. Otherwise, we were always at war. So what did Mandy Patinkin really say to us? He says, you know, no matter what we do, the world is always going to look like this in a different form. Oh, it won't be ISIS next year or next decade, or it'll be something else. So maybe we're being asked to look. What do you mean by it's always going to be something? Where does this something else come from? How does it always appear on the horizon? There's always another event. When I was a kid, we looked at the 21st century, which is what we're in, as the golden years. A century, a millennium. Not a century, a millennium, 1,000 years of peace. I don't know about you, but okay. It may be that we are in 1,000 years of peace, and this is where we have to actually start by really looking at where the quote problem is, but there really is no problem if we don't use our radical eyes to see. The radical eyes that always sees the problem. The radical eyes to see what's going on outside of us. It's not going on outside of us. Maybe for the first time in man's history, we've come to an uncertainty and say, what's going on here? Is there another way of looking at this? And only by our willingness, and each of us to do it on our own, certainly not to listen to Dove on a microphone, this is what came to me. But if we're really willing to take a look at the insanity, and that's exactly what we heard Cheryl Kaplan call it, it is insane to think that this is the world that God made for us to live in. No, this was a world as an attack against the love of God. And that attack will always keep coming up in some form. Oh yeah, it's always, you know, it could be a disease, it could be a war, it could be this, it could be the person next door becomes radicalized. Well, how do people become radicalized? Now they're starting to question. Well, this person wasn't radicalized through training. And then he started blaming the social media. Maybe it happened in social media. Maybe it happened on Facebook or Twitter. That's how they were radicalized. But some are actually going deeper than that. Maybe there's something in all of us that is radicalized. Now, some of you who do the course or any of the other Indian gurus know that that voice, which is the alien voice that speaks to us, we have already been radicalized for sure. If you believe your thoughts, you are a radical. Of course, the Course in Miracles is a radical reversal of what we have done to ourselves. It's a radical reversal. True forgiveness is a radical reversal of the beliefs of this world. Yes, it's still an illusion, but it's the only illusion that doesn't perpetrate and invite more illusions. It looks and does nothing. And not reacting to the belief in pain and suffering, what we are doing is we are accepting that all things are happening for the good. This morning I received a private message from Suzanne DeKaiser, who most of you know is my sharing partner here on Fridays, and I'm going to spend the next 5 or so minutes reading something that came to her, and I know in my own experience that this was given to her to give to me. It's called The One Mind. Yes, for sure. I know we both share the same purpose, the purpose of truth. And this is what she sent to me. She says, I had an experience yesterday during my yoga session which has pushed me into a state of wonder that has remained with me ever since, and that which it revealed renders all effort and endeavor obsolete. But also effort and endeavor take place until it does so no longer. It clearly showed the nature of the mind being one of abstraction as the Course points out. It wasn't directly an experience. It was, is a direct seeing which has the attribute of isness about it. No debating, no arguing, no doubting. The seeing of it dissolves time and space and gives way to a kind of spacious awareness that is nothing and everything at the same time, in which everything happens and simultaneously nothing is ever happening. Nothing and everything are one, exactly the way that everything appears. It made it absolutely clear that there is no doer, only the sense of personal doership. And that is until it is so no longer. There is nothing to fix, no thing to transform, no emotion to be changed from the level of the sense of personal me. I saw how we did not come here for any, quote, holy reason, like saving the guinea pigs, other than for the sole reason to reawaken to the truth of what we are. Right now, I see how the pollution of the oceans and the climate change and the arising fear about it is simply the invitation to turn within and inquire, what am I? What is the world? That turning within will take care of the oceans and the weather and the guinea pigs. The alignment with truth will change what appears on the screen. I'll repeat that. The alignment with truth will change what appears on the screen. Remember that saying from the Course lesson 135, the longest lesson in the Course, if I defend myself, I'm attacked, paragraph number 18. What can I not accept? What can I not accept? But I knew that everything that seems to happen, past, present, and to come, all events, all encounters, all experiences, are gently planned for my good by one whose only purpose is my good. So, instead of going into fear, we say, wait a minute, I'm being asked to look at how this is for my good. Maybe the answer doesn't lie outside of me. Let me accept and look within where the answer is. She goes on to say, my sole responsibility is my own atonement, and that everything and everyone is seen in a unified vision. My sole responsibility is my own atonement. The world is literally seen differently. You actually cannot believe blood and war and conflict anymore. You are no longer distracted by the world of form. Nothing needs to be healed. Where there is the idea that something needs to be healed, there is still the sense of something out there, quote, unquote, out there being physical reality, and while that sense lingers, we still give reality to form. The vision of heaven being the only reality, no matter what kind of images appear, nullifies the power that we have given to any, quote, externals. So to be in this world, to play the game of being a body, you must be willing to give your power away to externals. Yes? Those people have the power to kill me. Well, I've given my power away, and isn't that the way the last unanswered question, chapter 21, section 7, starts off? He says, can't you see that all your misery comes from your strange belief that you are powerless? When he says that, he's laughing, because he knows that the exact opposite is true. You are powerful beyond measure, as Marianne Williamson loves to remind us. You're powerful beyond measure. You made it all up. Yet you sit at the TV screens and you say, my God, how am I going to protect myself, my children, my family, my this, my that? You see, we do have a personal interest because we do identify with our body. Then she continues here, we need not become do-gooders. Yeah. We don't have to give up sex and rock and roll. We need only relax so completely that I mean that literally, that it's seen from within, non-localization, ha ha ha, the language cannot even grasp it. That I am that. I am neither this nor that, neti. I am, period. It's not even about being in the world and not of it. It's about the world arising in me. The world is a figment of the gift of imagination. Allowing that to stabilize here while smiling and being very still. I just wanted to share that with you. David, my friend, have a wonderful Sunday. Much love and gratitude. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Much love and gratitude to you. I know you're listening on the radio. And I did actually send her a thank you note and told her I was going to be including it in this morning's talk. And she sent this back to me. She says, one mind, yes, this is what happens when two or more are joined. What I also see, David, is that it does take a shift. The undoing of what the egoic mind holds to be true and the inability to hold on to anything known is, big word, is the shift to vision. From conceptual knowing to a living, direct experience. The happy dream is not brought about through ego's endeavor. He, capital H-E, takes over and corrects perception. Okay, as I'm reading that, I'm reminded of Bren Haskell's Journey Beyond Words, one of my favorite lines from it, from Yeshua, when Yeshua says, do you want to know what the secret of salvation is? And of course, if you're a student of the Course in Miracles, you know that it says, well, the secret of salvation is I'm doing this to myself. So I figured, well, Yeshua is going to say, I'm doing this to myself. No, he didn't do that. Not in the Journey Beyond Words. He says, I'll tell you exactly what the secret of salvation is. I said, okay, I'm all ears. I'm listening. And I've been using this for the past month or so. I've been sharing it right here in the room and sharing it. I'm doing it and experiencing it for myself. Here is the secret of salvation. And we can all do this together right here, right now. Relax your mind. Release your thoughts. Let go. In this present love, there is nothing outside of you. Of course, it says, ultimately, you're going to learn there's nothing outside of you. No, you don't have to learn it ultimately. You can experience it right now. Your oneness. That all are included equally, safely. Yes, the guy who asked the question on public TV today, how could we ever feel safe at all, ever? Yeah, as that question is coming up, in the public domain now, we have to take another look. Maybe we're looking at this through eyes that don't see, eyes that are blind, ears that don't hear. We were radicalized already. This is about reversing the process to see through true vision. True vision, Christ's vision, has only one law. It doesn't see anyone as a body. It sees no one as a body. So if you're concerned about your body, you have to take a look at Above the Battleground, chapter 23, section 4, which Cheryl was just reading from. Again, I'm going to complete paragraph number 5. It says, bodies may battle, but the clash of forms is meaningless. The clash of forms is meaningless. Doesn't this course start off by nothing I see here means anything? And just in case it means something, I must have been giving it all the meaning it has. Yeah, I'm a body, you're a body, and I don't want to lose my body, and I want my body to survive. I don't care about your body. Well, that's not God's law at all. If I gain at someone else's expense, if I have to bomb out half the world so I can be safe, you don't think that 10 times as many forms of sickness, disease, war, famine, and starvation are going to pop up all over the planet? You got to laugh. We're watching a movie. Yeah, I have a thing I put every now and then. Relax. God is in control. There is no other plan. This is God's plan for salvation. We're watching it. We're seeing it. But see it not with radical eyes. You think of it as a terrorist? As John Mundy reminded us years ago, there's no terrorist out there. The terrorist is in our mind. You can call the terrorist an ego if you want, but it's a terrorist. It reminds you that you're in danger. It roams in a range from suspicious at best to vicious. Right now it's vicious. It's seeing a celestial speed up. Its days are numbered. Its time is running out. Its tricks are being seen. And we don't have to believe in the illusion anymore. That choice is our choice to ask whenever we say, I will forgive and this will disappear. You're not forgiving the people on the other side of the world. You're forgiving your thoughts that there are people on the other side of the world. As my birthday lesson 132 says, there is no world. I am. Let me remember the truth of what I am. Isn't that the goal of this course and so many other paths? To know thyself, to know the truth, to awaken to the truth, to remember the truth, to love the truth. And as we stop taking the judgment and defending ourselves and attacking the others, that power that we gave away is returned to us because we have become cause. We become responsible for remembering the peace of God which passeth all understanding. If you don't want to remember the peace of God that passes all understanding, you'll always be caught up in trying to understand. There is nothing to understand in a dream. Nothing. You can't understand a dream. You can only awaken from the dream. And we awaken together. Yes, we awaken together. When I'm healed, I'm not healed alone. That is the gift of God. That we share the same purpose. That we are one. We are one mind. An idea leaves not its source. We are one. For the function of love is one. Thank you all for being here, for joining in. I'm going to be turning this mic right back to Lynn, and Barb will put up a link for donating. If you'd like to donate anything to Awaken Together, this is a wonderful time. If you're listening on the radio, you can do that by going to awakening-together.org, and on the menu bar at the far right, it says donate. We'd love to hear from you. Your donation, your contribution helps this wonderful organization go forward. Okay, we'll have some time for any thoughts, any questions. Anybody want to share anything? Oh, yes, there's two more things I did want to share. I'm so glad that I thought of it before I close out. From Dances, the Dances in the Room, Dances posted something on Facebook this morning. I'm going to read it. And this is what Dances posted from Carl Jung. Carl Jung, who, of course, the wonderful wise voice from over 100 years ago, student of Sigmund Freud. I go on to start Jungian psychology, says there is no coming to consciousness without pain. There is no coming to consciousness without pain. People will do anything, no matter how absurd, in order to avoid facing their own soul. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. But by making the darkness conscious. And that's exactly what we're doing right here, right now. That's what this whole specter of terrorism and radicalized is all doing. We're looking at it maybe for the first time. We're not saying, you know, bomb the hell. You can't bomb your neighbor. This calls for new eyes. This calls for a new way of seeing. Above all else, I'm determined to see differently. Yes, we're coming to that place in mankind's history where he's not going to do the same old thing again. You can't use an atomic bomb on your neighbor. And then I'm going to close out with this from Suzanne posted this yesterday on Suzanne DeKaiser posted this on Facebook from the Ash. I'm going to probably screw this pronouncement up from the Ash to Vakra Gita. It says the body is made of worldly stuff. It comes, it lingers, it goes. The self neither comes nor goes, yet remains. Why mourn the body? Why mourn the body? Chapter 15.9 from the Ashtavakra Gita. Okay, turn this mic over to you. Thank you so much, Ben, for a little music. We'll be back shortly. We have a whole hour after that for social fellowship. Okay. All right, Len, that was the most perfect song and music and lyrics for following what we just shared here together. We have time now for everyone to share. I know we're going on beyond this 11:30 end of the service officially, to another hour of fellowship and social sharing here. And a wonderful time maybe to hear your thoughts and perceptions, maybe in view of what was being said here. I'd like to just start by, Regina has her hand up, I just want to say, I'm going to start this section by the same words I started at the very beginning this morning, as Ali Ashanti and Ramana Maharshi says, I'm not here to answer your questions. I'm here to ask you to question your beliefs. And that's probably what we're really speaking about. The world has always accepted different formats, like they are doing this to us. Maybe there is no they. Maybe this is a war against myself. Okay, Regina Dornegas, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you, Dove. That was, of course, another very inspired talk. Absolutely lovely. I loved every moment of it. A few weeks ago, maybe it was 4 weeks ago now, I can't keep track, maybe it was three, when the Paris attacks happened, shortly after that, within a day or two, Jeff Foster posted a brief article about how to stop terrorism. And in short, he was, you know, saying the same thing that you just said today. And when I saw that, I felt to save that as my next Sunday reading. So it's already saved in my Sunday file as Sunday's reading for 2 weeks from now. And, you know, maybe I will still read that and give the exact same talk again. Maybe I won't. I won't make a decision about that. We'll just leave it as it is. But it's interesting because the Quran came in the mail yesterday, and I started reading it this morning during my contemplation time. And, of course, you know that whenever I read anything, the right mind interprets it for me. But there's a lot of clarity, at least in the beginning of the Quran. It wasn't a hard interpretation job. It was very easy because the Quran reads very clearly. And what the Quran was saying was, when Allah speaks, at least in the beginning of the Quran, the word we is used. And so Allah was saying, we have brought you the truth so many times. We've made it clear so many times. And you've said, yes, you understand so many times. And then you turn right around and live without understanding. And what I also heard Allah saying was, of course, now, you know, I will be giving to Muhammad the truth again. But I also heard it either implied or stated, I'm not sure which, I would have to go back and look, that this won't be the last time. You know, this won't be the last time that we give the truth. Because for as long as you keep forgetting, we will continue to be merciful, and we will continue to give you the truth. So to me, the only question then is, when will we quit forgetting? You know, we can hear Dove speak it today. We've heard it before. This wasn't the first time. Maybe I'll share it again in 2 weeks. Maybe I won't. I don't know at this point. But, you know, we hear it over and over again, and then, you know, we continue to go right on selecting sides and judging. We do it, you know, maybe with the news. But, you know, even the news has a certain distance away from our personal life. So where we're most likely to do it is right here with one another, dividing right here, judging right here, picking sides right here. And so I hear Allah, you know, saying to Muhammad and to all of us through Muhammad, you know, we keep bringing you the truth. You keep saying you understand. And then you live without understanding. And the question then, when are we going to quit forgetting? Thanks, Dove.
Thank you so much, Regina, for that. And I know that whatever you're sharing in 2 weeks will be perfect from the one mind that that everyone probably needs, exactly as you say. We can leave here and go back to our normal beliefs, but we have to start to really question our beliefs. I kind of see that this is the crack the crack in the egg. You might say that lets the light in. You know, when it happened in Paris, well, it's on the other side of the world. When it happens at home, and it's not something you could have ever predicted. It doesn't make sense. All the law officials says it doesn't make sense. And I think that is the most helpful thing when we realize it doesn't make sense. There must be another way of looking at it. And I do think that, you know, whether you read chapter 23, The War Against Yourself, section 4, Above the Battleground, and you realize that as long as you're in it, you can't see it. As long as you're in it, you're engaged. And as it says here, and it's over when you realize it never was begun, how can a battle be true unless it's recognized that murder is your choice? So the terrorist is not out there. I must be somehow supporting terrorism by believing it's out there. There's nothing out there, literally. I am one self. We are one self. Exactly as our core values say, we are one self, united with our Creator. This has always been the truth. This is a return to truth. We have Marianne Williamson's Return to Love. This is a return to truth. Yes, it happens with each and every one, each doing it for themselves, taking responsibility not to be engaged. Yes, the terms of engagement is always to defend yourself against whatever is out there. There is nothing out there. That only comes from a split mind, a mind that's split against itself, a mind that's at war against itself and always sees it out there. Each of us is responsible to see that we have asked for this and we have received it exactly as we have asked. To deceive ourselves no longer in face of what is done to us, but to acknowledge that we are mistaken. And all effects of this mistake that we made will disappear. Okay, Rebecca or Ken, I guess it's Ken. Thank you. The mic is yours.
Actually, excuse me, it's Rebecca this morning. I just spent 3 days with my grandchildren, and I thought it was interesting. There was on TV, which we don't watch much in this house, but the kids had on this 25 Days of Christmas, which was all the Christmas specials. And I'm listening and helping them do different Christmas projects while their parents were gone. And I finally caught the theme in all the different Christmas specials, which was there's people who love each other, people who fall out of love with each other. They have different brothers or different families, but there's always this disruption. And then at the end, everybody comes together in love. And your talk this morning, Dove, was so beautiful. It really struck my heart. I worked in law enforcement for 20 years, and I worked in the legal field for about 5 years prior to that. There's a lot of things in what happened in our community, which I know deeply from the work that I've done. And your message today about how we view it, we create it, we judge it, is not much different than what I kept hearing in all these Christmas specials. It's the same theme. And as you said, Regina, you know, And I think you said it, Dove, or you said it, Dove, and maybe Regina echoed it, was there comes a point where there has to be a shift. There comes a point where you go above and you look down, but the shift is only I. It's only one. And until we learn about the shift, this will continue. God bless you.
God bless you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for those wonderful, warm words. You are a blessing. And for those people who don't know, Rebecca chooses the daily quote that we have here every day, that we contemplate all together at 10 o'clock. Regina will be contemplating today's quote. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for all that you share and do. Thank you so much for those wonderful, warm words. They are truly loving and a blessing to us all. Okay, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn. Thank you so much, Lynn, for all that you do. This room is so nurtured and so nourished by the love you are. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to you and through you. I hear it in your laughter and your giggles and your smiles and the way that you welcome all that come to this room. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lynn. This mic is all yours. Thank you.
Right, let me stop the recording.